10:33, Saturday morning, Rosie on the House. Winding up the last half hour of Rosie on the House. We got a text a couple minutes ago. Somebody wanted to know, have we been on in Arizona all those years, 28 years? It's the only place we've been on.
Originally, the first signal, I don't even remember, K.
1510 a.m., baby.
Okay.
1510 a.m. is where we started, moved to KTAR about a year and a half after that. And I'll tell you, the reason we have always been in Arizona, I just returned from a trip from Minnesota here day before yesterday. If I got a call, Jim from St. Cloud, Minnesota called, wanted to talk about windows. Well, I can talk about windows in Minnesota, but if he wanted to ask me about ice damming on his fascia or overhangs, or he wanted to talk about a oil-fired furnace in his basement, I wouldn't have a clue.
What's a basement?
All I've ever done is built and remodeled in Arizona. A couple stations have come to us and asked us if we would go outside of Arizona. And I have to tell them, quite frankly, well, I just don't think I could do the job. I'm an Arizona builder. We build differently here than we do, you know, in Duluth. I mean, you build a Ford exactly the same way. So you can answer Ford questions both ways, right? The only thing they do up there is they put a little 120-volt plug in the front of your radiator, little things hanging out there. What is that?
Well, now you
when
know.
When your car won't start and it's 30 below zero, that plug-in looks very pretty.
I think what I would like about it the best is you don't have to wait for the engine to warm up to get heat. You can start the car and you have your heaters working right away. We've got Linda, Jack, and John. Where are we going to go first? Let's stick to Jack and surprise first. We'll go to John and then Linda. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning and Happy New Year to you and your staff.
Happy New Year, Jack. We appreciate the well wishes.
Yeah. I have two areas of concern, if I may.
Okay.
We live in a large community, retirement community.
Okay.
And the house is about 15 years old. And we continually hear loud popping noises in the ceiling area. Is it a concern? And we've gone up and looked in the, or not gone into the attic, but looked into the attic. And we see the board that's put up there for the roof.
Mm-hmm.
We see numbers of rows of nails, real thin nails, that have missed the rafters.
Oops. Listen, Jack, what is the vintage of your home? When was it built?
It was built in probably 2001 or two.
Okay. We don't see this cause a problem very often, okay? The noise you're hearing is the thermodynamics of the material going through the heat and cold cycles of the winter. How long have you been in the house? Do we still have him up? My screen like blanked out or something.
No, we don't. For some reason, it's...
He's looks like he's still on line 5, right?
No, that was a line...
Oh, that's the Snap
4.
Garage door.
Try it, I'll try it.
Let me finish answering.
It's a brand new phone system they installed, and we're trying to...
Yeah.
Figure it all out.
Okay.
It has a mind of its own. Sorry.
So we are trying to address the caller's question from Sun City. The popping noise, generally speaking, may be the material moving because they have missed the truss. Just like you say, you've looked up there and you've seen the row of nails immediately beside it. The other thing that was happening back in that vintage and year is a lot of times the roof framers were putting the board, the sheets, up tight to each other. Well, what we learned is we have to separate those sheets by an eighth of an inch. And a lot of times it's the ingrain of those OSB boards grinding on each other. If you're not seeing pressure cracks coming through the drywall, nail pops in your ceiling, look particularly above doors and windows and take a look for spider cracking coming out the upper right or left corner of these doors or windows. Look real closely wherever you think the noise is most closely coming from for the line between the ceiling and the walls. Make sure that isn't moving or showing signs of stress. I doubt you are going to see any signs of stress. It's annoying. It can be horrendous to try and take care of. Most of the times we don't take care of that problem until it's time to re-roof. And then when it's time to re-roof, we go through, and many times we actually just take a saw and cut a saw kerf in between each piece of roof decking and assure that all the nails are properly nailed off. That generally takes care of the problem, but I'm saying at this point you probably don't have anything to worry about. All right, dude, let's get to the next caller.
All right,
real
let's
quick.
See how
let's
we
go
can.
To John. Good morning, John. We're learning a new phone system here. Have we got you?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, Happy New Year to
hey,
you.
Hey, man, thank you. Happy New Year to yourself.
I go to open my garage door, and it slams short, shut, and the spring on top just snapped.
Whack.
So I've got two cars in there, and there's enough room between them to actually stand. How can I get that door open? I tried to lift it. It is heavy.
And that's the only way you're going to be able to get it open is you're actually going to have to manually lift it. What you want to, have you released the garage door operator from the door itself?
Yes, I did. I took the pin out, so there's room for it to move.
Okay.
So do you have to get a hydraulic jack under there?
No, it shouldn't be that heavy. A couple okay. people ought to be able, depending on the kind of door it is.
It's a six-sectional aluminum insulated door.
Okay, and is it 18 foot wide?
Yes.
Okay. It should be, you should be able to lift it as long as you don't have any of the manual locks in place and you have released it from the operator. Lift it, and then you're going to have to put like a vice grip or something to or a channel lock that you can clamp onto the track.
The rail?
Yeah, on the track in the up position so it doesn't keep coming down on you.
Okay.
But the spring.
And then I did put a call into Authentic, but they won't be here till later today.
Okay.
So,
and you need,
well, that's good that they're able to get out today.
Yeah, and Authentic is our statewide Arizona overhead garage door service provider. Do you need to get out before they get there?
Yeah, we have places to go today. And
well,
because like I said, it's a two-car garage, and believe it or not, I actually have two cars in there.
Yeah, that's unusual in itself.
Yeah.
John, what I can tell you to try to do. Yeah, do you have anyone else in the house that
yeah,
would...
Yes, my wife is here.
Okay. Walk up to the door and don't bend all the way down and try and grab it from the bottom and lift it. Go to one of the rails that are about shoulder high and just kind of raise up on your toes and see if you can do like a military press. And
okay.
Usually, John, if you can just get it started, that other spring should give you just a little bit of assistance in raising that thing back up. Once you get it up, clamp it open.
The other spring, this has got the coil spring on the top. It's got the...
One central
spring snapped right in half.
Yeah.
There's no spring on it anymore at all.
So you don't have any spring at all. Okay.
No spring. Okay. So, well, and then if I have to, I just wondered if I'd break anything by forcing it up. So just force it up, make sure it stays up until they come here and fix it, and then I'm good.
As long as you're positive you've got it disconnected from the operator arm, you'll be fine.
Yes. All righty. Thank you very much, and you guys have a great show.
Good luck, John. Jennifer, do you remember the one time years and years ago we got a phone call from someone that was trapped inside their garage? The door to the house had been locked. They were listening to us on a radio in the garage, and the power, somehow the power was out, and they couldn't get out of the garage. It was two men locked in their garage. Absolutely one of the highlights of Rosie on
the
House broadcasting.
And what did you do for them?
Oh, we got them out. We got them out. They didn't want to call because they knew I knew who they were.
Oh, that's funny.
But two older gentlemen that were working on their little hobby in the garage and listening to the show, and they got locked in.
That could be bad in the summer.
It's been a long time since we've played that, but I know that we have replayed that clip more than once because it was just that funny.
It was hilarious. Shall we try and get to Linda here real quick? Actually, our last caller in queue, if you want to squeeze in a quick call, we can squeeze you in real quick before the end of the show, 1-888-767-4348. If not, we've got plenty of other material to cover. So, Linda, good morning. How can we help you, ma'am?
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
What I think I have, so here's the dilemma. My son actually lives in the house, and he called to say, Mom, the spare room floor is wet and warped. Now, previously, it's an outside wall, and I had to fix that spout that comes the drainage out of the air conditioner. Somebody broke it off.
Condensate drain?
Yeah, so I put a new elbow on, and I thought everything was working fine.
Okay.
And I did that probably a year and a half ago, and I did kind of break through the wall about a year and a half ago to see how wet it was. It was a block home.
Okay.
And it was a little damp, and then everything seemed to be fine until he was going in and cleaning up the room and saying it is worse than it ever was.
Oh.
So my question is, could that be that condensation pipe leaking? Because it's an outside wall. I don't think there's any, you know, water pipes over there, but I don't know.
Well, it would be unusual that the unit would be generating very much condensation right now.
That's what I thought, too.
It can. But you'll know that. I mean, can you, one of the things I would do, of course, get up in the attic and just look for obvious signs of water, okay, first and foremost. And the other thing I would do is one of the ways we detect water leaks is we go to an auto supply store and we buy a thermal imaging pistol that you can buy. You can buy them at Harbor Freight Tools for about $20. The better ones cost you about $50. And you actually just aim it at the wall, and it will tell you the temperature of the wall at that one red dot that's being transmitted from your pistol transmitter. And you can actually move it across the wall, and as the temperature of the wall changes, the reading on your dial will change. And as you get to a cooler and cooler spot, that's generally the area that the water leak is sourcing from. And once we identify the coolest spot on the wall, we open it up from there and try and see what we can find out. We actually use that a lot for even finding leaks around windows in rainy day situations. So it's a nice little handy tool to have. Like I say, you can buy a decent one at Harbor Freight for about $20. You can buy a pretty darn good one at Napa for about $50. I have one in my truck at all times. I take the temperature of everything. I take the temperature of black asphalt parking lots in August. Just
because you can.
Just because I can. That's right. And
all right.
And I could take. I didn't have it on me in the trip to Minnesota last week. I wish I would have. I wonder.
Does it work at below 60 degrees?
You know what? And one of the things that I was wondering about, how cold did it get? We have family in Tbilisi, Georgia, and they sent us a message saying it was -2 there. But it's -2 Celsius, so that ain't bad.
Ooh.